Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's time for our weekly conversation with different Chiefs player. And this week, we're very happy to sit down with offensive lineman Mitchell Schwartz. Mitchell, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
You know, doing pretty good. I'll tell you this. A shout out to you, the first player that shows up for our player interview this week with a bag of Doritos.
So yeah,
it's reduced fat. It's reduced fat.
Let's huge thumbs up, though. It's very, very delicious, though.
Yeah.
Reduced fat. Yes.
So, well, we might knock you for that. We wanted you to come in with the full thing. You
right.
Know,
well,
they're actually. I mean. It's got to be a stamp of approval if an offensive lineman's bringing in a bag of reduced fat chips.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, they're doing something right.
Your head's in the right place. So is the nacho cheese Doritos, is that your favorite chip?
You know, if I was going straight Doritos, I'd probably go with the Cool Ranch off the bat. Favorite chip of all time was the Cape Cod Golden Russet.
Oh, really?
I haven't been able to find that in like 15 years, but back when I was growing up, Cape Cod Golden Russets were perfect.
Well, shout out to our listeners. Anyone knows where the Cape Cod Golden Russets are, please let us know. We can pass that along to Mr. Schwartz. Okay, so let's talk about this week that you're in right now, a short week of preparation before Thursday night football at Denver. So let's just start there. What is your opinion of Thursday night football? Are you a fan, or do you wish it didn't exist?
I'm actually a fan of it. I think all the complaints are a little overblown, and you know, we have a short week, so you don't really practice too much, which is a good thing. And then on the back end, usually you get a few days off, which is also a good thing. I mean, you know, both teams are, you're going to say, equally sore, equally tired, or however you want to divvy up the not feeling like you're supposed to feel, quote unquote, on Sunday. You know, I don't usually feel that much different on Thursday night than I would on Sunday or Monday or whenever else we play. So I think there's a lot of benefits to the week itself. And then, you know, like I said, I mean, that's just my opinion and me personally, but I never really go into the Thursday game, you know, feeling terrible or feeling that way. So, yeah, I'm all for it. You know, drives up revenue, increases the salary cap, good for football.
See, I'm glad you said that, because sometimes I feel guilty talking about how much I love Thursday night football as someone just to watch football, because you hear the players, oh, this is terrible, it's bad for us, it's bad for the game. And so that makes me happy that you don't think it's terrible, because I love Thursday night football just as a viewer. But what do you do different in this week to take care of your body, to get your body ready in this short week of preparation?
Yeah, I mean, you just try to jump on top of recovery stuff as much as you can. And so even, you know, Sunday night after the game, if you've got stuff at home, you know, like the Normatec boots, I own a pair of those, so you can throw those on, you know, for an hour. You're just probably sitting on the couch watching Sunday night football anyway. So you might as well be productive with that, get the recovery started, kind of flush the legs. I mean, you know, Monday and Tuesday, it's already a work week Thursday, Friday. Like today we're sitting here on a Tuesday, and it's a game week Friday, which is kind of crazy. So you do, you know, contrast throughout the day when you can. I mean, you get in a little early, go in the cold tub, hot tub, mix that up. At night, once again, Normatec, other recovery things, you stretch, you just kind of do all the stuff you would probably do during training camp when the physical load's a little more difficult and you're trying to, you know, kind of get right a little bit sooner than you normally would.
Can you tell us more about those boots for people that don't know Normatec boots?
Yeah, so they're I call them moon boots, because once they're on and they're inflated, they look like moon boots, but they're full length leg sleeves. You put two of them on, and then it goes off of air. So, you know, you'll see guys with their legs elevated. You're kind of laying down, your legs are elevated. Technically, the science of it, you don't actually need your legs elevated, because it's designed to, and it blows up with air from the foot all the way down to the thigh. And so just by the nature of how it does it, it kind of flushes the lactic acid and all the things down into the core of your body where it can get flushed out. And so it's just a helpful recovery thing, getting rid of kind of the soreness, the lactic acid buildup. And like I said, I mean, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, you're probably just laying on the couch, laying on the bed, not really being too active anyway. So if you're going to lay there for an hour, you might as well do something that can help you recover while you're doing it.
So is that uncomfortable? Like, I know that sometimes in training sessions, people do like the cold tub, hot tub, and it's like you get in that cold tub and that thing hurts. You got to kind of sit in there and suck it up for a few minutes. Does it feel like that when you're in the boot, or is it nice and relaxing?
No, the boots are relaxing. The only two things are sometimes they can squeeze your toes, and I have, you know, kind of bunions on both toes. Thanks to my mom for that. And sometimes it gets a little squeezy there, so I have to do a little maneuver where I tuck down the top of it so it kind of sits halfway through my foot because it's not really doing anything on your foot anyway. And then the other thing is, as a big guy, it gets a little bit hot. You know, you can imagine it traps all the heat in there. And so, you know, when I'm doing it at home, I usually have the fan on high blasting at me, or, you know, during training camp, our dorm rooms are kept exceptionally cold, so typically being hot's not too much of an issue. So those are the only two things. I mean, it kind of feels nice to sit there, and you feel the compression. I mean, that's a nice feeling, and you kind of know that you're being a little more productive than just laying on the couch.
Mitchell Schwartz is our guest. So let's talk about where the team is right now. Obviously, back-to-back losses at home, not where you want to be, but still 4-2 in first place in the division, and so we're in this short week. You get right back at it. How do you feel the mindset or the mood of the team is right now, getting ready for a huge game in Denver on Thursday night?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, frustration for these last two games, and I mean, really, you go back to Detroit as well. You know, I think, you know, especially offensively, we looked at that and said we could play a lot better, and, you know, relying on a last minute drive to win the game, but not really putting a full game together. So frustration from that point, wanted to, you know, put a better foot forward and obviously win games, but also, you know, play well throughout the entirety of it. You know, you look at a lot of flags, a lot of holding calls on us as an offensive line, you know, those types of penalties typically drive killers. And so, you know, I know Coach talked about the time possession thing, but if we're doing, you know, things in a drive or a game situation that takes us back 5 or 10 yards, you know, it's going to be hard to keep the ball and convert those third downs. So wanting to clean up those little things, and then that's the good part of a Thursday game. Like, I mean, you're right back into it. You're already starting on the opponent the very next day. You kind of flush that stuff out of the system a little quicker because, you know, you just have to get ready to prepare for the next team. And then obviously going to Denver's, you know, typically one of the biggest games of the year. And so a little extra juice there.
And so when you have injuries on the offensive line, I think fans and I think even media guilty of it, we talk about the left side of the offensive line is struggling because of injury, two starters out. But how much does that affect the entire offensive line as a unit with the chemistry and the communication? Because you guys are, you know, five guys that hopefully could play together a lot and have that communication. But when two starters are out, it doesn't really matter, I would imagine, where it is, because that affects the whole unit, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, typically I'm going to talk to Larry more than I would, you know, guys on the left side. But, yeah, there are protections, there are run plays, there's, you know, all sorts of things about the offense where the left side's talking to the right side. You know, you kind of have to be in sync. Like you said, I mean, all five have to work together at the end of the day, whatever the play is. And so, you know, I think we've always done a good job here of having guys ready to come in and play. And so, you know, Cam's played a lot of good football in his day. So, you know, it's not like you're putting in a new guy who's never played there. You know, he played well for us last year throughout the end of the season playoff run. You know, did a lot of good things there. And then I think, you know, Rank showed, you know, how well he can play. You know, he seemed to have a pretty good game over there. So, you know, like credit to, you know, Brett Veach, obviously, for bringing guys in and bringing quality players in. And then that's something Coach Heck kind of stresses, especially in the offseason, but even, you know, throughout the game week of the two guys who are going to be ready to play, being available to play both sides, play guard, play tackle, kind of moving all around so that when injuries do happen, a guy goes in, that's not the first time I'm playing next to that guy. And so, you know, if the guy next to you goes out, you don't want, you know, 3rd and 12 at Denver to be the first time you've ever lined up next to somebody.
We're visiting with Mitchell Schwartz, and this has to be weird for you guys right now because, look, even when you lost games last year, the offense would put up like 40 points, and we'd talked all off season about how this offense never got held under 26 points in a game. So all of a sudden, for two games in a row, it has been held under 26 points, and I think at least all of us on the outside are going, man, this is crazy. You know, we never see anything like it. But it is the NFL. I mean, it's hard to be that consistent week in and week out. What is that? What, I mean, is it weird to you guys? Like, hey, wait a second. We never get stopped like this.
You know, until two games ago, I didn't even know we had the 26-point streak thing going. I couldn't have told you, you know, how many points was the lowest we'd scored. It's just not something that you really think about. You just kind of go game by game. So, you know, like I said, I mean, I think it's frustration. I think, you know, when we look at it and we're critical of ourselves, there's a lot of stuff that we're leaving out there. Like I said, you know, whether it's penalties or whether it's missed blocks or, you know, things of that nature. I think every guy has, you know, kind of a list of things he'd like to improve on, things to clean up. You know, a lot of the pre-season pre-snap stuff, whether you know, it is a penalty or something that you're not on the right angle because you're not thinking about the right thing, or you know, all those little details. I mean, we talk about, you know, all the details, and it just got to get better.
So you we nerds who are not playing football on Sundays sit around and debate certain topics sometimes, and one of the ones has been kicked around a lot, in large part because your offense has been so incredible at throwing the football ever since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback, has been, well, do they even need to run the ball? You know, they're so good at the pass. It's almost like a waste of time if you're just getting 5 yards on a run play. So we were curious, like, from a guy that's in the trenches that has to drop back to pass but also is involved in the run block, like, what do you think the balance is? I mean, is the run game still a crucial component to the sport? And if so, like, where does it fit in today's NFL maybe compared to in the past?
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely still has a place. I think even, you know, the kind of research and development or quote-unquote analytics guys, I mean, they're all leaning pass heavy these days.
Right.
But there's still a split. I mean, it's still 60-40, 65-35. I mean, I don't think even those guys argue that it should be 80-20 pass. And the nature of our offense with all the run-pass stuff, I mean, we're going to end up throwing the ball at a higher percentage than it's called just because of the nature of our run game. And so if you go into a game, you call 25 runs, but, you know, 8 of them, oh, well, the look tells us we should throw it. You know, that's only going to look like, you know, what is that, 17 called runs, and people are going to say, oh, it's under 20 called runs again, that type of thing. But no, we call 25. It's just we like the look a little bit better to throw it on that particular play. And, you know, typically Pat makes the right read, and we get, mm-hmm. you know, more than 5 yards on those throws. So the numbers are always skewed there, but I think the run game is more of an attitude thing and more of kind of a mentality. And so you definitely never want to lose sight of that. And, you know, I think Coach does a pretty good job of blending it up. And so, like I said, the numbers get a little bit skewed. But I think, you know, if you're kind of looking from the offensive line perspective, there's a lot more called than what ends up on the stat sheet.
You see, you're no stranger to the Denver Broncos. But how different does the defense look with Vic Fangio as their head coach and Ed Donatell as defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you got Vaughn across here, it looks pretty similar. So, you know, he kind of still the leader there and kind of makes everything go. And you know, a lot of the same guys. Obviously, Chubb went down a couple weeks ago, and the guy they got in is playing really well. And so the front seven's as good as it's been there. You know, they got Wolf. They got you know, just really good players across the board who play downhill. They play physical. They play fast. And so, you know, structurally, things are mostly similar. I mean, Fangio's got his kind of spin on things. And, you know, obviously, you know, if not the best defensive mind, one of them. And we definitely understand the challenge of, you know, going up against good players, but also those guys playing within a pretty awesome scheme as well.
What's been the key to your success that you've had against Von Miller in the past?
Yeah, I don't think you really have success against him. You kind of just, you know, hope to survive against him. And, you know, I think, you know, those things get a little overblown. I mean, that's another thing where, you know, like we're talking about the run game showing up in the stat sheet, you know, his impact doesn't always show up in the stat sheet. And so, you know, you look at those first few weeks and they say, oh, Denver doesn't have any sacks. You know, he's not affecting the game. And, you know, he always affects the game. And, you know, whether it's bending the corner a yard closer than another guy can and making the quarterback step up into a guy, and maybe he throws from an awkward angle and it's an incomplete pass on third down where he would have completed it otherwise. And, you know, that's not going to show up really anywhere. That's not a sack. That's not a quarterback hit. That's nothing, but that's a play he impacted where he got the defense off the field. And so, you know, he's always that guy, and you understand the challenge of facing him.
So you speak of making a quarterback throw from an awkward angle. Well, last year in Denver, there was a left-handed pass that got a lot of pub, but that was one of those signature moments early on that kind of introduced Patrick Mahomes to the rest of the world. Do you remember what was going on? Because, I mean, I remember watching, like, what the hell was that? You had to rewind. You can't do that on the field. Like, he just threw it left-handed. I mean, do you remember what was going on? Because that was a big moment in that game.
Yeah, a huge moment. They ran an overload blitz, and so we knew there were going to be more guys than we could block, and he knew that too. So he, you know, obviously escaped to the left, and I think Tyreek barely even caught it because he didn't think the pass could even come his way with him running. Yeah, you're running to your left, and a guy's kind of draped over your right shoulder. Most right-handed quarterbacks obviously can't throw it that way, and so yeah, you don't really realize how special that is, I think, until you see the highlights after the game and you kind of see the reaction on social media and how much people are freaking out. And so, you know, that was just kind of an in the flow of the game thing, and oh my God, that was cool, but let's go line up the next play because we need to go score.
Well, and the thing I remember the most about that, I was in the press box there, and that was a primetime game just like this one is coming up on Thursday night. And at that point in time, people were starting to wake up to, wow, there's a special quarterback in Kansas City. This guy's special. He's putting up some amazing numbers. But he hadn't been put in a hostile environment in terms of this crowd's going crazy, fourth quarter, team needs him to put together a drive in the last couple of minutes and go win a game in that fashion. And that crowd was nuts, if I remember correctly, in Denver that game. And he did it. Did you, like, you always hear these legendary stories of the quarterback that gets in the huddle, Joe Montana in the Super Bowl, looks up and sees John Candy and lightens everybody up. Do you feel like you already knew? Because the rest of us didn't know yet. Like, how's Mahomes going to react to this? Did you guys in the huddle already know we got the guy that's going to put a drive like this together? Or is that like, hey, let's see what this kid can do in that situation when you were in that huddle?
Yeah, I think we knew. I mean, I think you look at that whole fourth quarter and, you know, guys are still playing hard. They're still fighting hard. And you know, that comes from a belief that you can get the job done and you're going to come back and you're going to score some points and win the game. And, you know, he had 10 touchdowns after two games and we're like, all right, that's pretty good. And then he comes home for his first game and we have 35 in the first half. So, you know, I don't think any of us thought that a fourth quarter drive would really phase him or take him off his game. And so, it was just complete confidence, complete belief. I mean, he kind of did that on a smaller scale the year before in his first start in Denver. Yeah. I think the score was probably tied. Was it 24-24 or whatever it was? But, getting down in the field goal range, letting us kick the game-winning field goal to win that Week 17 game in his first start. And, you know, obviously it's Week 17 and they weren't in the playoffs, so it wasn't quite the same nature as the night game in Denver, fourth quarter, all those things. But it's a similar situation. And, you know, we just had all the confidence in him. And, you know, obviously, like you said, he kind of showed that for the world where it was now everybody watching and, hey, how's he going to react to this adverse situation? And obviously passed with flying colors.
For you guys to get back on track, it's funny you say that after you scored 24 points, but you guys only had three offensive possessions in the second half of this past game. But for the offense to get back on track, what do you think maybe is important for you guys to clean up for this game on Thursday night?
Yeah, it's just kind of the mental process of things. And, you know, like I said, I mean, it's been a lot of negative plays, negative things that we've done to ourselves. And we've played a couple of really good defenses. I mean, obviously, you know, you look up and you see those guys lined up across you and the personnel that we've gone against is really good. But there's a lot of things that we're doing. Like I said, the pre-snap stuff, the penalties, the holdings, you know, just taking out the rhythm of the drive by going backwards. There's once we get that cleaned up, you know, I think things are going to flow a little more smoothly.
Before we let you go, tell us about the second annual Q for a Cause that's coming up. If Chiefs fans out there would like to get involved, and I'll be honest with you, Nate and I were kind of hoping you would walk in here with a tray of barbecue because we missed out on
yeah.
that media opportunity.
Serious FOMO.
And hey, look,
man.
You know, I understand.
The barbecue on the short week's a tough ask.
That's a tough deal, but that's fine. I get it. So maybe we
just missed out, man.
Right.
Yeah.
But tell us about the Q for a Cause, please.
Yeah, Q for a Cause. It's my charity dinner. It's going to be November 4th, which is a Monday night, about 6 o'clock at the Abbott. And it's going to be me, some of my teammates, you know, Pat, Travis, a lot of the offensive line guys and as many others as I can get. We're going to be serving everybody food, obviously barbecue themed, and so we're going to have some really good food catered. And I can't quite cook for that many people yet, so I'm not going to be handling the cooking duties, but the food's going to be great. And then benefiting a couple great causes, you know, the Leanne Britton Infant Development Center. We had got hooked up with them when we first got here, and you know, they just do great things for young kids who are going through tough situations. And and then also the Midwest Animal Rescue. You know, my wife's gotten to know a woman who, you know, rescues a lot of dogs and, you know, takes in older, sick dogs. And obviously with our two dogs and having a little bit of an Instagram presence, you know, animals are really important to us. And so, you know, we wanted to give back to them as well. And just a great local Kansas City animal charity.
If you're going to barbecue one thing, whatever it is you go to, you can enter in a competition. I don't know if that's something you plan on doing later on when you're done with football, but what is it? What's your go-to? What's your go-to dish?
So there's a couple ways to answer, because the thing that I would most like to cook and have be perfect is brisket. Brisket would be the most fun. It would be, if I can nail it, that's the thing I want to present to you. But if I'm you know, saying what's the one thing that I'm going to cook most correctly, it's pulled pork because that's the easiest. You just kind of put a thermometer in, cook it to 200, take it off, let it sit for a couple hours and shred it. So I need to get brisket more consistent. That's kind of my off-season barbecue goal.
Big Red once gave us instructions on how to properly cook a prime rib on the show.
He did.
Before. So
he did.
Do you think you could match skills with Andy Reid in the kitchen?
Probably not. Right. You know, I think he's got a lot of cooking knowledge. He's got a few more years than me to have adopted some of those really good recipes. If you're cooking an awesome prime rib and you're confident enough in your recipe, there's probably not too many things I could compete with on that level.
So we know you're a foodie, you and your brother both, but I'm just curious, like, I've seen you so much involvement with barbecue. When you made it for the media members here, your Q for a Cause you got coming up, I've been seeing you pop up at different barbecue joints in town. Have you embraced barbecue because this is where you are, so you might as well, if I'm a foodie, this is the food here? Or were you always a big, you know, barbecue guy yourself?
A little bit of both. It was something that when I was in Cleveland, you know, I lived in an apartment with a little balcony where you couldn't have a grill, and that was kind of the white whale of what I wanted to capture was some good barbecue and being able to cook it for yourself. And you know, once I got here, you know, got a house, got some space, got some patio space in the backyard, able to do that. And then you just get immersed in, you know, Kansas City, and that is the food. When people think of Kansas City, they think of barbecue. So it's kind of the perfect marriage there. And, you know, you realize there's so many great places to eat here. Everyone does things a little bit differently. That's the cool thing about cooking at home is you can, you know, do whatever you want to the brisket or the ribs. You can put the rub on, you can put sauce on, you can not. You can, it's just, you know, kind of the world's your playground there. So, yeah, it's just a kind of a convenient a marriage of the two. And, you know, the other cool thing, like I said, with brisket, it's different every time. And so, you know, you're doing something that's, you know, not perfectly consistent. The cows are different, the muscles are different, and the timing's different. Some days are colder, some are hotter, the grill's going to be different. And so, you know, just trying to kind of nail that down and capture it and do it right every time is kind of the game within the game.
My final question for you, where does Mile High rank as far as opposing home environments as far as difficulty to play on the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, it's right up there at the top, you know, especially with the rivalry. You know, that's kind of the big game, I think, when we come to town, and especially with us doing well and them doing well. And, you know, them always looking forward to it. And so, you know, a Thursday night game, and, you know, they seem to be night games over there. They tend to be pretty good games. So that gets the fans a little extra rowdy. And, yeah, there's not too many places, especially outdoor. I mean, that's kind of the crazy thing is how loud it gets for being, you know, an outdoor stadium and with the air being that thin. And it just feels like they're right on top of you, and it gets pretty crazy.
We appreciate the time, man. Good luck on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Chiefs get another big win against Denver.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It's Mitchell Schwartz with no barbecue, but the reduced-fat Doritos. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.